Danielle, and Esther. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63 tonight. This morning I preached a message. I told a couple of folks, it was one of those mornings I felt like I was having a tough time getting it started, and then I had a hard time getting it stopped, and I just had so many things I wanted to say. I thought I had my thoughts so well organized, and maybe it came across better than I thought it did, but there were a lot of doctrinal things in there that people were dealing with, and we talked about some things that are hard for people to contemplate, things like a sin unto death, and yet the Bible teaches about so many things. Tonight I want to bring a message titled Comfort for the Weary Soul. Comfort for the Weary Soul. And I want to read Psalm 63 and the entire chapter. It's not very long at all. And so if you would look on with me. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Heavenly Father, tonight would You comfort weary souls. Would You encourage us with Your truth. Lord, use me, I pray, to be an instrument of Your grace and blessing to Your people. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a psalm that was written by David in the wilderness. It seemed like there were many psalms that David penned while dwelling in wilderness places, being pursued by Saul in so many places, much like an animal. He dwelt in caves and in bushes and in valleys and under the open sky, not having a place of habitation. Until we know the story that at one point he just despaired of ever being king at all, and he went down to Philistia and dwelt in Gath, and there in Ziklag he made his abode for a few years because he despaired of what God had promised him. And as we look at this particular point in the life of David, David is writing this from Judah. His heart yearned to be in Jerusalem, but at this moment, his own son, Absalom, has taken over the throne and is ruling in insurrection from the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. I don't know how you feel about it, but as a father, I know how I feel towards my children. And I cannot imagine the heart of David knowing that his own son had stolen the hearts of the people and the kingdom and led a rebellion against his own father, God's anointed. But were I David in that situation, I am very certain that I would find myself in a wilderness place, that I would find myself in need of great comfort. And perhaps there is one here tonight that has been forsaken by someone that you love and trust, by someone that you care for very deeply, and they have treated you in a way that is less than honorable and kind and loving. And if that is the case for you, this is a message that can minister comfort to your heart if you will let it. For these are the words of a man in great distress. In fact, it was decreed by the early church that Psalm 63 would be sung each day. And certainly, it is the type of psalm that deals with a person's life throughout the day and that can offer comfort to them. As we look at this, we find in verse 1, he cries out and says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. You see, he begins in the morning, seeking after the Lord. Isn't it something how that when we fall into times of distress, all of a sudden, all the things that we thought were so important that supplanted our time with God aren't quite as important. They're not as high a priority when something of this sort comes into our life, and then what it leads us to is seeking after the Lord our God. And you know, I look at my own life and I recognize the fact that many times as I began to allow other things to crowd God out of my daily life, God allowed trouble to come into my life so that I would learn again, anew and afresh, to seek Him early in the morning. Friend, today, God wants not the rag end of the day, the leftovers, the dregs of your time. He wants some quality time with you. And David said, early will I seek Thee. God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. Tonight's message, comfort for the weary soul. There are three statements in this psalm that David made concerning his soul. And he said, first of all, my soul thirsteth. My soul thirsteth. And in that statement, we see his desire for God. Here in verse 1, my soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm sure that he was parched in his spirit and there was very little news that he could have that would bring comfort to his heart, and all of the circumstances of his life had seemed to have gone awry, and no doubt at this point in his life he's introspecting, because here is his son that maybe he made some mistakes in rearing up that has led rebellion against him, has brought shame and reproach upon him as a father, and maybe he's feeling some personal responsibilities for it perhaps, and maybe he's thinking about things that he could have done. But I want you to understand this. As difficult a time as it was, he recognized that though no man would understand and that no one else may be able to offer comfort, that it produced within him a desire to seek after God. Because in moments where we feel that no one else understands and no one else can fully comprehend my plight, I want you to know tonight that the Bible says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. And so therefore let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Why do we know that we can obtain mercy and grace and help to help in the time of need? Because Jesus Christ has sensed our every pain. He has been there before us. And even as Pastor Lyle prayed tonight, he sees the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we know that he understands all that we will face. And we will never go any place that our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not been first. And when we understand that, and we think that no one else understands, we know that Jesus understands. And we come to him, and maybe we cry out and say, God, my soul thirsteth, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There was a desire in his heart for that intimacy and that relationship with his God that no earthly relationship could come close to. And I want you to understand that through this psalm, that David is acknowledging the fact that God is the one alone who can fulfill his every desire. He was the only one that would ever be able to satisfy the deepest longing of David's heart. Though Absalom repent and come back in sackcloth and ashes, there would be no greater comfort that could come to his heart than to have intimacy and relationship with a lover of his soul, the Lord God, Jehovah. And he cries out to him from the wilderness place. And he says, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." And friends, today we must come to the place and why is it that it has to come through trouble so often? But it does. We come to the place where the world seems ugly and foreboding and dark. And we come into communion with the Lord. And we desire to see His beauty. We desire to see His power and His glory in that sacred sanctuary with God. And we sing, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." There is nothing in this life that is better than the loving kindness of our God. Men, I want to tell you something. There's not a woman on earth that can satisfy the desires of your heart like God can. And God wants you to understand that and embrace that truth. Where you will say, "Because thy loving kindness is better than anything in life, my lips will praise thee." Ladies, I want to tell you something. There's not a man walking this planet that can satisfy the deepest desires and longings of your heart like God. And until you come to the place where you say, "Thy loving kindness to me is better than anything in life," don't expect to find that fulfillment anyplace else. You will never find it. David would not have found it in a restored relationship with Absalom. He would not have found it in a restored relationship with Michal, who forsook him and embarrassed him publicly. He could not have found it in any human relationship. And it cannot be said of anyone else that their loving kindness is better than anything in life. And maybe you're in a wilderness place in your life emotionally tonight. God is trying to woo you because He loves you. Into a place where you will fully comprehend that His loving kindness, even in the wilderness, and even through the circumstances that led you into the wilderness, His loving kindness is better than life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering." Listen, Paul's desire above everything else was to know God. And that is something that God has placed in the heart of every man. And as I think about there in the book of Acts, as Paul spoke about going outside of Athens and there on Mars Hill, contending with the philosophers and finding there the statue to the unknown God. There was something in the heart of those philosophers that desired and longed to know the one true and living God. And Paul opened the Scriptures and declared unto them Jesus Christ as that God that was unknown to their hearts, the one who alone was able to fulfill the deepest desires and longing of their heart, the one that could, like a clear, fresh, cool drink of living water, quench that insatiable thirst in their heart and soul. Friend, tonight, the only one that can satisfy is the one that could give you living water, who told the woman at Jacob's well, if thou would have asked of me, I would have given you living water, and you would never thirst again. He's the one that can satisfy you. And because His loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise Him. Thus will I bless Him while I live, and I will lift up my hands in His name. My soul thirsteth. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you looking for something to fill up the empty places of your life? Then instead of desiring the things that will never satisfy, desire that which alone can satisfy and fill you up. Cry out to Him, "Oh, my God, my soul thirsteth for Thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for God." Most of us know what it feels like to yearn to be with someone else or to be in another set of circumstances. But have you ever just yearned for God? Has He ever just been the object of your unfailing desire, affection, and love? That's what He would be if you would make Him that. And when you do, you will discover that His loving kindness is better in life. He said in verse 5, "My soul shall be satisfied." Secondly, my soul shall be satisfied. Not only in the first statement of his soul do we find a desire, but when he said, "My soul shall be satisfied," we see in this statement a decision. He's declaring something here. "I will find satisfaction in my God." It's not just enough to say, "Okay, I desire it," but you must take it a step further and say, "Okay, I'm going to act upon that desire and I'm going to decide." You recall today we talked about Ananias and Sapphira in the Sunday morning message, and God gave them a choice. Whilst they owned the land, it was in their power. And when they sold it, those funds were in their power. They had choices to make that affected the outcome of the rest of their life for the next 3 minutes, right? And we have decisions to make as well, where we come to the place where we say, "My soul, I've decided, my soul will be satisfied with God." Perhaps you've heard the story of George Beverly Shea, who was given all kinds of offers of contracts to be a singer and to travel the world as a famous singer. But the night that he had to give his decision, he wrote the words to the song, "I'd rather have Jesus." And friends, would to God we would come to the place where when we come to a crossroad in our life, we say, "My soul will be satisfied with Jesus. I don't have to go down another road to try to find satisfaction in my life. My soul thirsteth after God. My flesh longeth for God, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I desire Him who has the living water, who can quench the insatiable thirst in my heart and soul. And I desire to know Him. God's placed that in my heart." But you have to decide in your life that you would rather have Jesus than anything. I think about as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that lived in a very hedonistic society, and the Epicureans and the hedonists there believed in the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And so they lived it up. They had as their motto, you only go around once. And that's the motto of the world today, that thinks, I've got to go for the gusto, I've got to try to live it up while I can to try to find some satisfaction, and that is a decision that they have made. And friends, I want you to know that the world will never satisfy you, its things will never satisfy you, but when you decide in your heart that your soul will be satisfied with God, I want you to know you have made a decision that will begin to mark progress towards a peace and joy and fulfillment that your heart has never understood heretofore. But you've got to make that decision. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Will I rejoice? You see, in the morning he sought the Lord, and in the evening, he sought Him again. He sought Him again. He meditated upon Him. He thought upon Him. Tonight, we have so many people that will go to bed thinking about problems. They'll lay down and pillow their heads listening to television or to music or anything that would drown out the thoughts in them of confusion and of discontentment. And for once, we need to tune out the din of the world and tune our ears to the still small voice of God and decide that my soul shall be satisfied. Not just that my soul is thirsty, but I'm going to drink of the living water. Not just say, I'm really thirsty, God, but then decide to go to the well and get a drink, amen? To go to the one that can satisfy, the one that will lead you to say, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. My soul shall be satisfied. Have you made that decision tonight? You say, well, I made the decision to take Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm glad that you have done that. But I've discovered that the Christian life, it's not just one decision and that's the end of it. You see, daily, I have choices to make. Daily, I choose to yield my body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. That's not something that's accomplished once as you come down and, once and you say, okay, that's it, and you get up no, that's not it at all. Every day, we have choices to yield ourselves, to seek after God, to find our satisfaction in God. And there's not a person in this room tonight that hasn't been saved for any measure of time that could stand up and testify and say, oh yeah, I made a decision and that settled it once for all about serving the Lord, about reading my Bible, or about whatever the case may be. Nobody does it quite that way. You see, we have to make that choice daily. We must reckon ourselves as dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And every morning, we discover His mercies as new. Not say, well, you know, I know that they're new, and I'll go and I'll check it out later. I've read it once before. You know, I've discovered that sometimes I'll go through a passage of Scripture, and I'll read it 1,000 times and think I have a good understanding and grasp of that truth. And on the 1,001st reading, the lights come on, and God thrills my soul with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it's like I read it for the very first time. You know, I was looking at Sarah today, and she was seated right down over here, and I can't believe she's going to be 15 years old this year. They're growing up so quickly. And as she was young, she used to sit and watch the Disney movie The Fox and the Hound hour after hour. And she'd sit down and watch it for about 30 seconds, and then she'd go play. Then she'd come back and watch it for about 30 seconds, and then she'd go play. And then she'd watch it again for about 15 seconds, and then she'd go play. And she was just going about her little childhood things, and then one day we took her into the doctor, and we had her eyes checked, and we realized that she had terribly impaired vision. And we took her to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed some lenses for her and made the little eyeglasses before she was even 3 years old. She was about 2.5 years old. And she kind of looked cute in the glasses, but the doctor said, listen, she's not going to wear those glasses for a long time. You're going to have to train her to wear them. And so maybe just a couple of hours a day, wear them and increase the amount of time that she wears those glasses. And eventually she'll get used to having them and it won't be a problem because kids are always pulling them off and breaking them and things like that. And so we brought her home the first day. She had her little glasses and she put her little glasses on. And we went into the family room and turned on The Fox and the Hound. And she sat down and she didn't move a muscle until the movie was over. And it occurred to me that though she had seen it 1,000 times, she was seeing it for the very first time. And sometimes you and I go through the motions of life. And we give God a lick and a promise. And we go our way and we get busy with our life and its play. And we come back and give it a casual, passing, blurry-eyed glance. Until finally, something in our life brings us to the place where we are focused in on what God has for us. And we will see it for the first time. And would God, when we do, will say, I have decided my soul shall be satisfied with God. Lastly, we find in verse 8, David said, my soul followeth hard after thee. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And perhaps there is not a better verse in all of the Bible to prove that out than the one that we have just read. My soul followeth hard after thee. And literally what that meant was that he was devoted to knowing the heart and the mind of his God. He was after the heart of God. He was after the mind of God. And his soul followed hard after it. And in this we find a devotion to knowing and following after that which was the will of God for his life. Even in the life of Paul, he said, I press toward the mark. And before that he said, listen, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a passionate devotion and a following hard after that which God had laid hold of the Apostle Paul. And God, just the same, had taken hold of David for a great and a victorious work. And though at this moment in his life, it didn't seem very victorious, it didn't seem very great. In fact, it was very difficult and very emotional and very toilsome and very troublesome. He was following hard after God. He said, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Who is the king? David. And he said, listen, I'm going to take the position that is mine as royalty. And my friend, there's a message right there for you and I. Some of us have been living like paupers when we are children of the King. And we could tonight sing, my father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And friend, today you and I have been promised that we are going to rule and reign with Him as kings upon this earth. And would God, a royal priesthood, a royal generation of those who have lived long enough like paupers, would rise up and say, "My soul followeth after Him, and the King shall rejoice in the Lord his God." I'm going to rejoice in my God and seek and pursue His will for my life, no matter the circumstance I may find myself in. I'm devoted to it. And I want to tell you something we sang this morning. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. And when you find yourself forsaken by those that you love the most, knifed in the back, He's still wonderful. And when you find yourself in the wilderness in Judah and you wish you could be on the throne in Jerusalem, He's still wonderful. And when people pursue you to kill you and speak against you falsely, He's still wonderful. And I want you to come to the place where you say, "Thy loving kindness is better than anything in this life, and so my lips will praise You. Thus will I bless You as long as I live." And friends, today I want you to be comforted in knowing that you can rest beneath the shadow of His wings tonight. I want you to know that God has a purpose for your life, and if you follow hard after it, I want you to see that you'll go from the wilderness to the palace. Would God that we who have been called to the palace would understand that the wilderness is just a stopping off place as we mark that progress toward what God has called us to. Friends, tonight, my soul thirsteth. Do you have that desire for God? My soul shall be satisfied. Have you decided that Jesus will be enough for you? My soul followeth hard. Are you devoted to His will for your life? Recognize today that you're a child of the King. Stop living like a pauper. Stop dwelling in the wilderness places in your mind and in your heart, though you may be there in your body. Lift up your eyes and understand there's a God that loves you more than you know. And He has things planned for you that you can't even conceive of. If you would just say, "Okay, my soul will be satisfied with You," then you'll see it. You'll see His power and glory in the sanctuary. And maybe tonight, you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, "It is written that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." And sometimes we say, heaven is going to be a wonderful place, and we use that verse to prove it. It's beyond our wildest expectations and imaginations, and that's true. But that verse is not talking about heaven. Because the very next verse says, "But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit." You see, He wants to show you His power and His glory, not in the sweet by and by, but tonight. And you can see it if you will. Desire it. Decide. And then devote yourself to it. And you'll go from the wilderness to the palace. Though perhaps not physically, but in your spirit. Heavenly Father.